How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out onto us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning and all things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we, who were the first to trust in Christ, should praise our glorious God. And now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Amen.
My subject is actually, who am I? Actually, I do know who I am. I'm married to Joe. We've got that far. And I will let you into a little secret with some other people here this morning that very soon we will have been married 50 years. Her mother didn't think I was the right one. I've always agreed with her mother, but we've nearly got there. And there we are. Habakkuk said this. Actually, he said at the beginning of his book some very interesting words. Look around at the nations and look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. And then at the end of his book, he says this. I know he talks about the barns being empty, but he says this. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And through this morning, I just want to come to that point where each of us is absolutely secure in who we are in Jesus. Because when we get listening to, as I said, what's going on in the world, we can get a bit wobbly. But when we read Scripture, we're left in no doubt as to what God is saying. You know, there was a little quip, I don't know whether it was a YouTube or a story. I don't know why I'm saying telling this, but anyway. This guy came to the checkout desk in an airport, and there was a queue, as always there is, miles long, and he came barging into the front. And the checkout girl, or check-in girl, said, excuse me, what are you doing, sir? And he says, don't you know who I am? And she said, no, but hang on a minute, I'll find out for you. So she went on the tannoy and said, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a gentleman at desk 14 who is desperate to find out who he is. It happened with Joe and I. We're at a cricket match in Swansea, and there was an incident, and we knew what was going to happen. Joe said to me, listen to the next statement. He'd taken beer into the family place where you're not supposed to have it. You don't get beer poured down your back then, Gene, if you sit in that group. And he took this beer up to, and he was with his grandson. And the steward came up afterwards, and it happened as it always happens. He thought he was somebody, but nobody else thought that. And he said then to the steward, "Don't you know who I am?" "No." "I'm going to talk. I know Bill Bloggs, who's so-and-so in the ECB." But the steward won. He did a brilliant job. In fact, he did such a brilliant job, I went to see his supervisor afterwards, and I said, "That man needs a pay rise." I said, "He deflated a situation that could have been nasty. Don't you know who I am? Do you know who you are?" You know, we sometimes question it. But you know, this is one of the problems today, I find, is that people are always searching for who they are. It's one of the great searches and great problems in the 21st century. There's a whole industry that's built up where vast millions, that, you know, celebrities go running off looking for this guru, that counselor, that seminar, this, that, and the other thing, to find out who they are. You know, I've got a message for them, actually. Perhaps I ought to send it to one or two whose names will not be mentioned. There's a little black book here. Actually, there is a bigger book, but there's nothing more in this one other than in here. It's the sort of book that Tim needs, because if you noticed last week that his eyesight's going and he needs his glasses now. But there's nothing more in there than's in here. And I don't know whether you read in UCB last week, last Thursday, just this. Wrong way. It was yesterday. It's still the best selling book. And an author wrote, "It contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the fate of sinners, the happiness of believers. It's a light to direct you, food to nourish you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's roadmap, the pilot's compass, the soldier's weapon, and the player's game plan. It's a mine of incredible wealth and a river of genuine joy. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Christ is the grand subject, your good its design, and the glory of God its end." And that's only half of it. And that is what's in this little black book. Mayo had his little red book. We've got the little black book. I tell you what, though, just some advice. As you get older, get a bit bigger one than this. All right. But that's the trouble. And you know what? Even amongst Christians, I hear the question, "I don't know who I am anymore. I feel a lost soul. Who am I?" And yet the Bible tells us, he says, "He has rescued us," says Galatians, "from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God. I have called you by name. You're mine, you're precious to me, and I love you. And you are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession." So who am I? Just listen to this clip, will you? It's a lovely song. Some of you will have sung it, heard it. We are the children of God. And I believe that today that God would want us to reaffirm where we are in him. You know, I sort of wasn't quite sure which part to read today, because I've got two favorite passages and I've lost the bit of paper, but I'll do it out of here. Just listen to this from Peter. Is it? It's the one I love as much as that Ephesians. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you might endure some trials now. That's what Peter had to say. You know, I can't get my head around this fact that I am a child of God. You know, this is what Isaiah said, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with a garment of salvation and draped me in the robe of righteousness. Faith, come here, please. This is what it means. Viv, you're draped, hopefully, with the robe of righteousness. There is a garment of salvation as well. But when God looks at you, that's all he sees. He sees the robe of righteousness. He sees Jesus. Don't matter what really is inside, just at this moment. And we know it's pretty good. But God looks at us, and he just sees that robe of righteousness. And he says, that's my child. But how do we know that I'm a child of God? Some might say, I'm not too sure, Peter. You know, life is so difficult, and things go wrong, and I just wonder what's going on. The Word of God says that if you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are born again. I'm not going to use the word saved. It's born again, because that's the word, the two words that Jesus used to Nicodemus. And what God wants us to do as his children, to be sure of who we are, is to daily come to him and recommit ourselves to him. That is the key. And the Holy Spirit, we want to say to him, come Holy Spirit daily and fill us again and again. You know, we sang just now, that song, we're no longer a slave to fear. There is fear, anxiousness, even amongst Christian people. I believe, too, that within our community here, there is that spirit of fear of so many things. Fear of the unknown, the fear of what's going to happen. Even the fear of what the Holy Spirit is going to do. You know, we lived in that for some years, Joe and I. And suddenly we popped out the other side and realized, what is it all about? It is wonderful. There is no fear. The Holy Spirit is who he promised to be. And God wants us to enjoy our position in him. That's the whole thing. He's our Father. Now, you may not have got a great recollection of your earthly father, but I wondered, if you can you put that to one side and just concentrate on who God is as our Father? You know, the Bible says we're sons and daughters of the living God. We're his friends. The incredible thing is that God brought us into a relationship with him as we've given our lives to him, that we might know what eternity is going to be like. But he saved us, as Di read, because it gave him great pleasure to start with. I find that incredible. But he brought us into a relationship with him because that is what he wanted. He wanted some friends. And he saved you. He saved me. Don't understand it, but that's what he did. And he's kept me this long. I don't know how many years, but quite a few. You're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're God's child, guess what? He's made you his heir. See how much the Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But this is it. God decided to adopt, we read this morning, us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus, and this is what he wanted to do. You and I are in a relationship with the Father because he wanted us. He calls us into his presence. You know what? Hebrews says that come boldly. But there's another lovely expression that Paul used. He said, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of a glad welcome. That's the NLT again. But if God was here this morning and he is. All right, sorry, God, you're here in the Holy Spirit. But he'd come alongside and he'd say, you know, this is my friend, my child, Viv. We had a great time on Wednesday. We spent half an hour together. She came and she talked to me and shared with me what she's doing. Her love for Nick, her love for her children, and everything else. And then he'd come to this, oh, God, you're back here, our brother John. And he'd say, this is my man. In fact, this man comes into my presence so often, I've got an armchair for him. Is that right?
Yeah, beautiful.
And we talk together. We commune together. We talk. You know, we haven't got to be religious when we talk to God. We can be ordinary and tell him things that go on. And then there's this crazy guy over here. This is my friend, John Plastock. Do you know, he's like a revolving door. He comes in, he goes out, he comes in, and he goes out. He does stop still long enough sometimes for me to talk to him. In fact, lots of times. And there's a special person for me over here. She's called Michelle. She hasn't got a lot of time, actually. She's quite a busy young lady. But she pops in, and we have a chat. It's not quantity, it's quality. She shares her problems. She tells me how much she loves me. And that is as precious as anybody else. If John can spend an hour, Michelle only can spend 10 minutes. But that's great. That's what it's all about. Is God wants us in his presence for quality time. Not quantity, just to share. Do you know, have we ever sat down and just said to God, God, I just want to tell you where I'm at. I want to tell you what's happening. Instead of saying, Lord, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and perhaps you'd bless Auntie Sally on the way. But just to talk about us, because he's our Father. And all this, all of it comes to us because of Jesus. And he's called us to himself because of what Jesus did at the cross. You know, the cross was about salvation. But there's a big package that came at the cross. That God brought us salvation. But he brought us friendship with God. You know, the world at large will never understand what that really means. But when you spend time with the Father, you understand what it really means. So what holds us back? What causes confusion? How do we wonder who I am? I believe that one of the big, big problems for us as Christians, we're fearful of letting go of the past. You know, the Jews always hankered after going back to Egypt, because there were wonderful things back in Egypt. There was slavery, but there were wonderful things to enjoy. And so God had to let them wander around for 40 years until he got all of them had passed on, because they would never have let go of Egypt. But there's a very interesting verse in Ezekiel. If you want some pleasant reading, read Ezekiel. And it says there, he said, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut. You know, in the natural, that that cord anyway, as a baby is cut, to release that person, that newborn baby, into who or he will be. When we're born again, there is an unbiblical cord that needs to be cut. And if we don't cut it off, we will be held back and held back. And the devil then can remind us of all our faults and fears and problems. And I believe that God would have us just this day to let go of what would hold us back. I wonder what holds you and me to enter into the full blessing of what Jesus has got for us. You know, we have got a generous father. I had a good father, but I can't always say that he was generous. I'm a very generous granddad. I seem to be always have my hand in my wallet for the grandchildren. I think if my kids were here, we'd say, hang on, Dad, what about us? But God is such a generous father that he just wants to shower on us the blessings that he has, and all the blessings he's accumulated in Jesus. And the whole point about the Word of God, it says everything that God has given to Jesus is ours. Paul says that I've been given the pleasure of telling you about the treasures of heaven. So who am I? I'm a child of God. I might have bumbled along here because, to be honest, I've been living with this for 6-7 weeks and nothing ever came together except to just say, I am a child of God.